just as you are. And that's what the Lord says to you today. Amen. Come, just as you are. Hear the Spirit's call. I love that song. You may not be familiar with that song, but that's what the Lord says. All throughout Scripture, He says, come just as you are. A common misconception is that people sometimes even preach that you've got to get your stuff straight. And when you get your life figured out and everything's in line, then Christ will love you and He will accept you. You can come to Him. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, come just as you are. Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it goes on, because the truth is, He doesn't say, come just as you are and stay that way. He says, come just as you are. Allow me to save you, to redeem you, to purchase you back. Then allow me to get my Spirit in there and begin to work in you and to change you from the inside out. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, that process of changing from the inside out. Folks, I've got to be, doesn't it bother you when somebody says, let me be honest with you? Because then you think, well, what have you been before now, if you've been telling me lies, you know? But let me make it clear. I believe there is an excitement in the air at Dolan Baptist Church. I believe that there are some things coming in progress and in the works, and some things we don't even know about yet that are exciting. The buildings are exciting. The fresh faces, the new faces we're seeing are exciting. The new programs, the new ministries, those are exciting. But nothing excites me more than seeing people come to Christ. Amen. And seeing Christians grow. Amen. Seeing Christians grow. That's kind of going to be the topic of today's sermon is growing to maturity. And how do we do that? Do we need to do that? Is it required of us? And I believe that we must continue to mature in our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that we're called to do that. The Bible says that we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds as we get more knowledge of who Christ is and what He has done for us and what He wants us to be and what He wants to do in us. We begin to change from the inside out and we become a new creature. We're going to talk about today about a maturity identifier. There are lots of things that identify maturity. You know, when you're talking about little kids, you know, a maturity identifier is when they can tie their own shoes, right? Yeah. When what? When they can brush their own teeth, where they can have an accident and then go take care of it themselves, right? Yeah, I heard lots of amens on that one. Those are mature things. And when they start making good decisions on their own without having to be told, when the child comes and says, Mother, Father, wouldst thou likest me to take out the trash for you today? You know, don't you love it when that happens? Has that ever happened? I think it did happen once. I can't remember, but it was on Mother's Day. But, you know, things like that, as we grow, we get more, we're stretched. We get more knowledge, more understanding. We're able to make more decisions. With that comes more responsibility. And as I was telling our prayer group this morning, I think that's where a lot of Christians are stuck. Because they realize, now, wait a minute, if I grow, if I mature, then I'm going to be expected, more responsibilities are going to be put on me, and I'm just not sure I want more responsibility, because then I'm going to be held accountable for those. And a lot of people get stuck there, and that's why they don't grow. But the Bible instructs us. Jesus told His disciples, we need to continue to grow. He taught them how to pray. They said, we don't know how to pray. He said, well, let me show you. And He taught them how to pray. He taught them what it means to have faith and what it means to expect something that we can't really even understand. That's maturity. We're going to talk about a maturity identifier. In Luke chapter 15, this story, we've looked at it many different ways. You can come at this. It's the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to look at it even once again. We'll probably look at it again sometime down the road. because they're so rich. There's so many different angles to look at this story, and it's a story. It's a story about a father's relationship with his son, and it's a parable, which means it's not an actual event that took place. Jesus spoke in parables. It's an illustration, and Jesus gave this illustration so that we could understand what kind of a relationship God the Father wants to have with us and how we can respond to that relationship. We're going to read this text. It's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. It's kind of a long passage, but we're going to work through it. Verse 11 says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him out to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine that was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." The son, the younger son, came to his father and said, "Give me my share." He doesn't ask respectfully. He didn't say, "Dad, listen, I got some plans, and here's kind of what I've been thinking. I want to do these things, and I want to go out, and I want to venture out, and I want to go on an adventure, and I want to do these things. And in order to do that, I need some resources, and may I have an advance on what my eventual inheritance would be?" He didn't say that. Very demandingly, he comes to that and says, "Give me my inheritance now, before you're dead." And we talked about how this is such a very disrespectful way, because basically, he was basically saying, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Give me my stuff now." And the father responds, and he gives it to him. Remember that the story is just a parable to illustrate something. It illustrates the relationship between God and us. And sometimes we come to God the same way. "God, give me this. Give me now. I need this." And listen, I want to make clear, it's not wrong to ask for the Lord to give us things. It's not wrong. He invites us to do that. He invites us to present our petitions and our needs and our requests to him. He invites us to pray for others and for, I can't even remember the word anymore, but petition on the behalf of others, for supplication on the behalf of others for their needs. He invites us to do those things. So to say that the Lord doesn't want us to ask for anything would be wrong. Okay? But what I'm saying is, that sometimes that's all our prayers are. If we took a 5-minute prayer, for some of us is a long prayer. That's a long prayer. That's five. It's one thing when you're watching a movie, 5 minutes passes real fast, or when you're eating supper or doing something you really really have enjoyed, 5 minutes is nothing. But when you get quiet and get still and get alone and start trying to pray for 5 minutes, sometimes it feels like it goes on forever. You look up, you think, "I've been at it an hour," and you look up and it's, 3 minutes gone by. But I wonder if we took a simple time of prayer, 5 minutes, And we removed all of the petitions where we asked, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. If we took all that out, how much would be left in our prayer life? You see, prayer is so many things. It's not just asking for God. It's also praising God. It's saying, God, you are great. God, you are good. You are awesome. And Lord, and ask for other things and for growth and for pray for the church and pray for your church leaders, pray for your governmental leaders. You know, there's all kinds of things that they're involved in prayer besides asking for personal things. Is it wrong to say, Lord, I'm sick? Please give me good health. Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. No, it's not wrong. I wonder how many of us pray in the same manner that the Son approached the Father. Lord, here's what my need is. Gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. When I think about the maturation process, the process of maturing that our children go through, I can remember a long time ago, back when my kids were selfish, when everything revolved around them, and their only concern was about their wants and their needs. That was a long time ago, folks. Right? Yes. Aren't you glad that everybody grows out of that stage way early on in life, and that nobody, you know, adults are no longer selfish and needy, aren't you glad that that doesn't, amen, yeah. The truth is, some folks never grow out of that needy stage. Some folks never mature emotionally, spiritually. But that's not what God has called us to do. The baby, when he can finally even verbalize a word, you know, we teach him to say, dads always try to get their kid to say their first word to be dada or daddy, right? Moms are always, they want to be mama. They may not say it, but they want their first word to be mommy, you know. But it's really nice when they can point and say, instead of just crying, they can point and say, I want milk, milk, whatever it is, or juice, or mashed potatoes, whatever you're feeding your babies. But he knows what he wants, or she knows what she wants, and is finally able to verbalize that in the form of a demand, right? They don't say, Mother, if you have time, would you please, in your spare time, fix me a glass of juice or a bottle? Daddy, Mother's tired. She's busy. Would you fix me some formula, please? They don't do that. They just demand. Okay? Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we're like that. We're very demanding in our relationship with God. Give me. Or gimme, is a very immature way of getting what you want. I'm not saying or even suggesting, again, that we shouldn't ask the Lord to give us things in answer to our prayers. But what I am saying is that if your prayer life is made up only of gimme, you need to mature in your relationship with the Lord. This son, that's all he said to his dad, gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme. When he received his money, he left and he squandered it all. He was selfish. He lived for himself and for his own desires. Then he ran out of money. He lost the means to carry on his lifestyle that he really was living it up, and he became destitute. In the process of losing everything and getting to the point where he was feeding pigs, even desiring to eat the pig slop, he became humble. And you gotta understand a little bit. We talked about this a little bit a while back, but the son, the family in this illustration is a Jewish family, right? Guess what Jews don't eat? Pigs. Guess what Jews don't come into contact with? This is how destitute he was. This was a Jewish boy in a distant land feeding the pigs and desiring to even eat what they're eating. Okay, this is how bad he was, how far he had fallen, how far he got, and he got humbled in that point. In verse 17, I believe it is. I love it. It says, when he came to his senses, when he got back in his right mind, right? When it clicked in his mind, when it when he got humbled enough, he wasn't so concerned about gimme, gimme, gimme. He said to himself, man, I'm in a tight spot. I need to figure a way out of this. I can't do it. I don't even have any money left. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. He planned it out. He wrote a speech. You see there in this passage, he says, here's what I will say to my father. I will tell him, Father, I've sinned against you. Let me see the next verse there. Verse 18. I will set out and go back to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And it goes on. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. He planned this out. He may have even written it down. This is what I'm going to say to my father. No, that doesn't sound right. I'm going to scratch that. Okay, this is what I'm going to say. Yeah, this is it. This is my rough draft. It's my final draft. This is the speech I've got prepared. And he goes back home. And what does he do? He says the same thing. Father, it's almost like he pulled his note card out of his back pocket. Like when you're cheating on a test, you put it out and you hide it and you say, okay, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer. And he started repeating this speech that he had prepared for his dad. And he was just hoping that he would be able to have a bed in his servant's quarters. He wasn't hoping to be restored back to the household. He was just said, man, if I could just get like one of the hired men, that would be awesome. Have it much better than what I have now. So he got up and he went to his father. And here's where the transformation takes place. I told you we're going to look at a maturity identifier. Here it is. Notice the words he used when he was proud and anxious and immature. And he went to his father. He said, what? Gimme. Gimme. And now he goes back. Go back one verse to verse 19, if you don't mind, please. And here he says, instead of gimme, he says, you see it? Make me. There is the difference. There's the maturity identifier. Instead of give me, give me, give me, he says, make me. Make me. There's the difference, folks. That's the difference between an immature believer and a mature believer. If we could just move from the give me stage to the make me stage, oh, we'd see a great transformation in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of gimme, 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 we cry out, Lord, make me. Make me holy. Make me trustworthy. Make me more like Christ. Make me one who loves others. Make me a forgiving person. Make me, make me, make me. When we say give me, it's usually something that's intended for us. Give me health. Give me wealth. Give me prosperity. Give me, give me. Give me new shoes. Give me a new truck. Give me an airplane. Give me a toy. Give me, give me, give me, give me. That's for us. But when we say, make me, make me, that is something that we ask the Lord to do in us that we may benefit from, but it's going to be so much farther reaching than us. It's going to be benefiting to other people around us. That's what the Lord desires for us. That should be the goal of every one of us, to graduate from raising arms and crying out, milk, milk, to being able to go to the cabinet, get a glass, pour milk in it, and then help someone else take a drink. That's where God wants us. He wants us to move from gimme, gimme, to make me, make me. It's basically the example that Jesus later gives as he was praying in the garden. Prior to his arrest, the beatings and the crucifixion, and he simply said, but not my will be done, but yours. Lord, it's no longer about what I want. He asked, he said, Lord, if this cup can be taken from me, if I don't have to go to the cross, I'd rather not. But it's not about me and about what I want. make me useful to your purpose. Are you like that? Are you like that? Are you willing to say, Lord, it's no longer about what I want. What I want is for you to use me. Make me useful to you. That's what maturity is. But it's not as simple as just asking God to give us maturity. It's kind of like patience. You don't just pray for patience and boom, there you have it. How do you get patience? You got to work through some stuff. You have to learn patience. That's why I've never asked for it. There's a difference between giving and making. The recipient, or being the recipient of a gift, is different than going through the process of being made different. It is a process. It's often a difficult process, but a necessary one if we're going to become what God intends for us to become. You see, God realized that there was a brokenness in our relationship. It's broken because of sin. Scripture lines all this out. Because of sin, because sin exists in our lives, and sin is simply doing something that dishonors or displeases God. It goes against his commands, goes against his ideals for us. And that's a sin. We've all sinned. Every one of us. Your pastor included. Every one of us have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God the Father. The Bible's very clear about that. But the gift of life, the gift of eternal life, is through Jesus Christ. You see, he says, look, there's a brokenness, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You've said, give me, and you've taken it and squandered it off, but you don't know. I want you to know, you don't have to stay gone, God says to you. You can come back. And how am I going to receive you? I'm going to be waiting and watching for you. And when I see you, I'm going to run to you. Which is another thing that goes completely against Jewish custom. You didn't see a father running. They were very stately and dignified. They didn't run anywhere. They had servants to run for them. But not God the Father. He says, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll send you my son. I'll come running to you. Whatever it takes to get you, because I want you with me. And God says that to you today. He says, come, come. Where are you in your relationship? What kind of maturity identifiers do you have? Are you in a gimme relationship, or have you moved to a make me relationship? When I read this passage a while back, I can't tell you how many times I've read this passage, and these two words jumped off the page at me several weeks ago. From give me to make me is a vast difference. And God wants us to move to the make me. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, make us. Grow us. Change us. Transform us. Father, mature us. Lord, take us from a gimme type of a relationship to a make me type of a relationship. Father, that takes trust. It takes commitment. It takes unselfishness. It takes a desire to be close to you, Father. Lord, help us to come home. Help us to realize that we're better off with you than we are in a distant country. The truth is, Father, we squander our stuff. We squander what you give us. But you tell us, Father, come back. Come home. Come just as you are. Lord, make us. Keep your heads down if you don't mind, and keep your eyes closed, because I just want to get personal with somebody in this room. Maybe you realize that for the first time that your prayer life is an indication of your relationship. Maybe you realize today that, you know, how I communicate with my Father really is an indication about how our relationship is. And maybe you realize that you've been like that baby crying for milk in your prayers, and you just stick your arms up and you say, gimme, gimme, gimme. And just maybe you desire to move from that type of immaturity to a place of maturity where you begin to ask God to make you into something different, to change you from the inside out. And I want to encourage you today, That simple prayer of asking God to make you different is one that He loves to answer. It doesn't come as a gift. It takes effort on your part. It takes cooperation with the Holy Spirit, but it's well worth the effort. There was no one looking around. If that's your prayer to move from give me to make me, would you just raise up your hand? Just let me see. Nobody's looking around. If you desire to move from a give me type of relationship to a make me relationship, thank you. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. Father, there are several people in this room that have said their desire is to move from a relationship where they look to you and say, you're the giver, so give to me, give to me. And Father, it may be out of selfishness or it may be out of many different reasons. And we're not being accusatory in this place this morning, Father. But there are some folks that I've identified that has been their type of a relationship with you, Father. And they desire to move to an unselfish type of a relationship. To where they say, Lord, instead of just looking to you as the giver of gifts, Father, I want to look to you as the one who has the power to change me, to change my wants, to change my desires, to change my habits, to change my addictions, to change my behaviors, to change my lifestyle. Lord, I want to look to you to do that. Father, make me different. Father, we know that that's a prayer you love to answer. You love to enable somebody to overcome those things in their life. Father, these are things that we can't overcome on our own. And that's why you gave us the Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you for that great gift that enables us. It's not just a giver, Father. It's a power that helps us to overcome. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. I pray for these folks that have raised their hand and identified that they want to grow, they want to mature in their relationship with you. Father, I thank you for them, and I ask that you would empower them and enable them to become all that you desire for them to be. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you want prayer or you need prayer, we're here. I'm going to be standing in the front. Rebecca will be standing with me, my wife. If you desire to join this church, we're here. If you just feel led to give your heart to Christ for salvation, we're here. You want to join this church? We're here. Just like in the parable, God is watching and waiting for you. Are you ready to come home? Come. Come. Come home. All who are weary, come home. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to spend just a few moments, and I want to give you the opportunity to respond. I want to give you the opportunity to come home. I'll be here in the front. My wife will be with me. If you want to, I'd be glad to pray with you. There are many other people that would be glad to pray with you. The altar is always open. You come. You come. This is your time. Are you ready to leave the distant country? Are you ready to come home? As we sing, you respond.